And here to help us break that down, we've got Jim Ingram with the Chronicle Telegram, the Medina Gazette, and a special contributor to Forbes as well. Jim, as always, we appreciate the time, and let's get right into who the Tribe should be targeting in free agency. You recently wrote an article, and you brought up some really interesting names as well. Which of the players that you listed and wrote about do you think are perhaps the most attainable for the Tribe this coming offseason?
Well, as we know, second base is probably their big priority with Kipnis apparently not coming back. Second baseman or third baseman, in which case they would move Jose Ramirez to second. But if you're going about talking about second base, to me the logical targets should be a guy like Jonathan Scope or Scooter Gennett, who missed most of this year with the injuries. But when he's been healthy, he's been a very productive hitter, and both those guys can hit home runs. And as we know now, that's the whole goal of baseball, is to accumulate as many home run hitters as you can and get a decent pitching staff and then punch your ticket to the World Series, I guess. But so those two guys, I think, would be worthwhile, and they're both I think Gennett still has a club option. They have to see if that gets picked up by the Reds or not. But Scope would seem to be a really good fit for the Indians and what they need.
Taking a look at the other end of this, too, because you admitted this when you wrote about some of these guys on here, might be a bit of a pipe dream, but, you know, there are some guys I think, based on name alone, would be really awesome to have. Which guys that you wrote about do you think are probably the most long shots or dream scenarios?
Of the ones I wrote about, probably Nick Castellanos would be the longest of shots. He's a first-time free agent coming off a really good year, I think probably his career year. So he's going to want to cash in big on that, and I'm sure that he probably will find some teams willing to give him big money. When you're a free agent before you're 30 years old, that's prime territory for teams that are shopping for free agents. And, you know, he got traded to the Cubs at midseason and just had a really good second half. So it wouldn't surprise me, actually, if the Cubs kept him and just re-signed him. But that would be the guy that would be the longest shot. I think of the guys I wrote about, an intriguing guy, to me anyway, would be a guy like Nick Markakis, who's kind of an older guy, but still seems fairly close to his prime. I mean, this is a guy that's got like close to 3,000 hits, and he's just kind of not the most marquee name out there, but he's a solid pro, and you know, he gives you good at bats every time up there, and he'd be a nice veteran guy to have, not just in the outfield but in the clubhouse. I haven't heard anything bad about him from a character standpoint, so the Indians are always looking for those kind of guys as well. So That might be a guy that would be worth exploring, you know, if he'd be interested in coming back to the American League. He was with the Orioles for a number of years, so it wouldn't be a foreign thing for him. He probably still remembers some of the pitchers here. So that'd be an interesting guy. I know another pipe dream guy, I guess, would be Mike Moustakas, who is probably over and beyond the Indians' wherewithal financially to bring him here, but I threw his name out there anyway, because, again, he's a home run hitter. He can play third base. I believe he even played a few games at second base for the Brewers. So he's a guy could fit for them defensively, maybe at either position. But the big thing is, of course, the power and the home runs. And he's been on some winning teams, so he would probably fit in pretty well, too, I would think.
You think the bigger issue is in the outfield, or do you think it's at that second base or third base spot, depending on where they want to put Ramirez this coming season?
I would say second or third, because, you know, the outfield, though it's not great, they've got some pieces out there that if they don't add anything to what they have, they could probably piece it together. I know they're hopeful that Franmil Reyes can become an everyday right fielder, which would add a bat out there, but it, of course, would be a bat that was going to be in the lineup anyway as a DH, so you're not really moving the needle there. It's just a matter of him playing a different position. You know, they certainly would like to, I would presume, get a guy that's kind of a dependable run producer out there. A guy like Yasiel Puig, but I'd be really surprised if he came back, just for the fact that I'm sure he's looking for a big contract. And, you know, he's got a lot of baggage with him when you sign him. He's at there's a reason he's been with three teams in 3 years, I think it is. And He played pretty well for the Indians. He didn't show much power, though, for them. He only hit two home runs after coming over from the Reds, so not sure what was going on there. But, you know, he had some moments where, you know, the one that sticks in my mind, of course, is when he hit the ground ball back to the mound in Minnesota and just walked to the dugout. You know, and this is a game against your biggest rival in the heat of the division race, and he basically just quits on the team on that situation. I mean, he didn't even make an effort to take a step or two towards first base. He just walked right to the dugout. So those are the kind of things that make you think twice about how much you want to invest in a guy like that. And I do think if he goes out there, now unlike Castellanos, Puig is 20, he'll be 29, I think, next year. But he's the kind of guy that is probably on the borderline of teams that want to really commit big dollars and a lot of years to a guy like him. And if he wasn't able to get the kind of contract he's hoping for, I'm sure, maybe, you know, he comes back to the Indians and say, you know, they give him a 1 year and an option if they can't find anything to their liking elsewhere. So I wouldn't rule him out completely, but I would be a little bit surprised if he came back.
We're speaking with Jim Ingram with the Chronicle-Telegram, the Medina Gazette, and, of course, a special contributor to Forbes. Well, you threw some fascinating names out there I want to discuss also. Starlin Castro, I thought, was really interesting, and you detailed in your article that he's only in play for the Indians if he's willing to leave some money on the table. Can you explain that whole scenario, why Castro might be in play for the Tribe?
Well, he's fairly young. He's an all-star caliber player. The big issue, again, with him would be money. I mean, he's got a $16 million option that Miami may or may not pick up. I would think that they might not, since they seem to be going into a total rebuild. But, you know, from Castro's point of view, I'm sure that's what he thinks his value is. And, you know, if that's what he's looking for in the market, I don't think the Indians are going to spend $16 million on a second baseman, even one who's closer to his prime than Kipnis is at the moment. And Kipnis, you know, they did not pick up his option for $16 million. So I guess if there's a line in the sand, you know, that's probably close to it. But, you know, again, he can be a star caliber player. And if you want to spend a little bit more money to get a little bit more offense and a pretty dependable defender, you know, he'd be a guy that maybe you would kick the tires on anyway. I still think he's probably a little expensive. You know, another guy that wouldn't be as expensive is Brian Dozier, the former Twin, who's been with the Dodgers and I think with the Nationals now. And, you know, he's an older guy, but, you know, as we all know and saw numerous times, he can hit high fastballs over the wall. And he's I think he's hit more home runs in Progressive Field than any other park, with the exception of the Twins, where he played for several years. So, you know, that might be a guy that, again, is another supposedly good guy in a clubhouse and a kind of a dependable guy who would still know the pitchers in the American League. So I think he's a guy, a name to keep an eye on, too, possibly.
You also threw out the name Scooter Gennett, and I thought that was really interesting. And, you know, you look at the numbers that he put up before the injury-plagued 2019 season. Is that a guy you think could be in the Tribe's price range? Because he had some sensational production numbers prior to getting hurt.
Yeah, probably a lot of people don't realize he hit four home runs in a game a year or two ago. So he's got some power now. You know, he did play in Cincinnati, which has one of the biggest bandbox ballparks in the majors. So there's that to consider. But, yeah, when he's been healthy, he's hit over, I think he's hit 303 over the last 2 years, the last two healthy years he had, which was 17 and 18. And he averaged, you know, like 25 homers and 94 RBI. So he's a guy that's been productive when he's been healthy. And this last year was the only year, I think, that he hasn't been healthy. So, you know, that might be a guy a little bit under the radar. But, you know, again, the baseball today seems to be hung up on home run hitters, and that's, you know, the Twins followed that formula and got home run hitters in all nine spots in their lineup this year and won the division pretty comfortably. So I think there's a little bit more of a premium on guys who can hit the ball out of the ballpark now than there is for guys that might be able to hit 300 but with only 15 home runs.
Looking at that outfield position for the Tribe, and it's interesting because I think there's a lot of promise there. You can make the argument that outside of their great young pitchers, the outfield has a ton of entry because there are so many good players. They're young. They're controllable for several more years. I look at that outfield, and I get pretty excited about that. How confident should we be at some of the in-house candidates, whether it be in the outfield or at that second base, third base spot?
Well, in the outfield, it's funny. Tyler Naquin went up and down the last few years, but he was actually playing pretty well this past year when he unfortunately blew out his knee and probably isn't going to be ready till the well past the All-Star break next year. Unfortunately, they could really use him. But a guy I'm kind of intrigued by who had a really good year at Columbus is Daniel Johnson, who's the other guy in addition to Rodriguez that they got from Washington in the Yan Gomes trade. He's a guy with some power and with some speed, and I think he's pretty good, pretty decent outfitter, supposedly with a really good arm, and never got the call up this year. I thought maybe they'd take a look at him this year, but they didn't, and I think he's a guy that if they don't add anything significant to the outfield, might be a guy in spring training that they give a long look to and see if he can maybe fit in somewhere in one of the corner spots. I think everyone was really happy with the way Oscar Mercado played in center field for a rookie. That's a tough thing to come up and become an everyday center fielder on a contending team. But, he had, like most rookies, some ups and downs, but he's a guy that can help you in a lot of ways with his defense, his speed, and his bat. He's got some power, so that's the one guy right now, I guess we can say for sure, is going to be the center fielder on opening day as long as he's not hurt. Now, the other two spots is where you're going to have to see, if Reyes can fit in and just be adequate defensively in right field. That bat needs to be in the lineup, which it will. And then left field, I think, is still a question mark. I think Jake Bowers, to me anyway, was a big disappointment this year. I thought he'd produce a little bit more than he did, and Naquin probably would be the candidate if he was healthy now, but that seems to be the spot where you'd have to find somebody. So, and then when you get into the infield, I think Nolan Jones is, we talk about the second base, third base situation. He's a guy, maybe not by opening day, but a month or two into the season, it wouldn't be inconceivable that if he got off to a good start at Akron or at Columbus, wherever he starts next year, that they could bring him up and see what happens. He's a guy that's a really patient hitter. He's got a high on-base percentage, which is another favorite stat of the analytics people. So he's a guy that I think right now is their number one minor league prospect and shouldn't be that far from the big league. So maybe at some point during the summer we'll get a look at him.
I could see Jones being in a similar scenario to the one that Mercado was in last year. Or you know what? You could even make the argument that maybe he could be in the same predicament that Bobby Bradley was in last year. He plays so well, he forces the Indians' hand to call him up throughout the course of the year. I just kind of wonder if he's ready just yet to play every day in the big league. So that's a name for sure to watch in spring training. But I think you hit the nail on the head with Daniel Johnson. And I think that could be why you don't see them spend big money on an outfielder simply because it's going to cost them a pretty hefty chunk of change to get Yasiel Puig. Unless a guy like that isn't signed by spring training, then maybe you get him on a short deal at a discounted rate. But I think they also want to be careful not to sign somebody for more than 2 or 3 years simply because Daniel Johnson really looks like he's on the cusp. He certainly seems like he's in a similar situation to the one Mercado was in last year in that they don't want to put up any roadblocks in the big leagues if indeed they think he's ready to rock and roll.
Yeah, I think that's a very fair observation, and I'm all for it. I whenever you get good young players that seem like they're getting close to the big leagues, why not bring them up and see what they got? I think Bobby Bradley was an interesting situation only because it was all, we brought you up here to hit home runs. We know you strike out a lot. Just try to not go a long time without hitting a home run. And he wasn't able to do that, even though he did hit some home runs. I think the strikeouts kind of got the better of him. And it's not unusual for a power hitter, especially to come up to the big leagues for the first time and struggle a little bit and then go back down and then hopefully come back up and be much better. So I think that was the situation there. And Nolan Jones, I think, has more ways to help the club than just hit home runs like Bradley does. I mean, he's a pretty good defensive third baseman, and he takes walks. He'll get on base. He's got a really good arm, and I think he runs a little bit. So he's got more of a wider tool set, I think, than Bradley does. But that's not to discount Bradley. I think it's not hard to envision a middle of the lineup built around Ramirez and Bradley and I forget the other guy. I was the other. Well, Reyes, Bradley, and Ramirez still even. So they've got some guys there. The other strategy they might want to explore, and this would be, if you did start the year with Johnson, say, well, let's give Johnson a chance and see how he does. They can always make a trade at the trade deadline where you can find a veteran guy on a bad team who's in the last year of his contract, maybe making a lot of money, but you're only going to pay him for 3 months as a rental. You can always go that route and try to, a guy like Jay Bruce, who they brought in a couple years ago and did some good things for them. So that's another way to, have it both ways, I guess. You could look at a young guy, and if he's ready, that's great. If he's not ready, maybe you make a deal for a veteran at midseason.
They've also got that surplus of pitching, so it'll be very interesting to see how they handle that in the offseason to see if they do indeed decide to go down that trade route. Jim, as always, thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate the time, and even though spring training is still a few months away, I'm sure it'll get here before we know it. But as always, we enjoy talking Tribe with you.
Okay, thanks, Andy.